Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith, with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, flying solo this week, hoping that Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church will be in studio with me soon. Our special guest for the entire show, he is David Urban. He is the CEO of Missionary Athletes International. And, man, I've had some fun talking to him off the air. David, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Man, I am good. I hope you and your family had a Merry Christmas and certainly Happy New Year to you guys.
Thanks, and you as well.
Thank you very much. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, before we get into Missionary Athletes International, what you guys do. You know, I worked in the soccer game for a while. I worked for the indoor team here in Milwaukee, the outdoor team here in Milwaukee, worked for an indoor team down in Chicago, and we're going to talk a lot of soccer with you. I want to know kind of your background, where you grew up and where you played, things like that.
That's great. No, I guess you better be careful because I may look to hire you.
I've had a tough couple of weeks. This might not be a bad time for you to be talking. I'm only kidding. I'm an old grandfather of four. Hey, so David, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia and grew up playing the game. And my dad started a soccer club program when I was little and coached hundreds of kids for about 20-some years. And he just passed away this past October. So it's been an interesting time with the passing of my father. But I grew up just outside Philadelphia, and I played high school and collegiate soccer in that same area. I went to a Christian college called Eastern University, just outside Philadelphia, near Villanova.
Hey, David, I'm sorry for your loss. We lost my mom on April 2nd. So I'm sad by her passing. You know, I come from this six kids, this whole Irish thing, you know, six of the McGiverns on the east side of Milwaukee, and my dad was a bricklayer and a mason. And he never threw the ball. He didn't like sports. My mom did. And, she was a big sports fan. And I do a high school coaches show here on 1250 AM every Saturday from 10 to noon. And, David, she never missed the show. Never.
That's awesome.
And I do a home improvement show from 8 to 9, a youth sports show from 9 to 10. I always, in quotations, forgot her son Michael was doing those shows. But at 10 o'clock... You know, and she lived at the Catholic home. At 10 o'clock, she had to be in her room so that she could listen. And when COVID hit, I said, hey, I talked to her 2 days, in fact, a day and a half. I talked to her the evening on a Tuesday and said, how you doing? She said, Michael, I kind of like this. I said, you like this? She said, yeah, nobody bothers me. I've got all my books. She was an avid reader. I have my TV to watch my boyfriend, Tucker Carlson, at 7 o'clock. And I have my radio to listen to you. She goes, I kind of like it. I said, well, don't you miss me? She said, no, not so much. I miss the jelly donuts you bring me. I said, I'll drop some off on Friday. And the next day, Catholic home called, said she's not doing well. And the following day, she passed.
And word.
Yeah, just really saddened by that. She loved Thanksgiving. She loved Christmas. I got to tell you, I miss her, and I'm sure same thing for you.
Yeah, you know, we don't get to choose our parents, and sounds like you were blessed. I was blessed to have the dad that I had, and it sounds like you were blessed with the mom that you had.
There's no doubt. She would wake me up. Dave, think about this, and she'd say, hey, Friday night, my dad, again, being the bricklayer mason, would head out with his boys, right? He'd head out to the – they'd sit in some bar and have beers or whatever. She would wake me up and say, hey, do you want to watch The Big Redheaded Kid with me? I go, yeah. She loved Bill Walton when he was at UCLA. Like, loved it. And so she would wake me up, have a little bowl of popcorn waiting on me, and I'd sit on the couch with her and watch Bill Walton. And then she took me to a high school game in Milwaukee, and it was snowing out. And she said, get in the car. We're going to a basketball game. I said, Ma, it's snowing out. You don't even like driving when it's raining. She said, no, we got to see this game. And we went to Marquette High, and it was sold out. And she said, my son's going to see this game. And it was a guy named Jim Jones against Allie McGuire, Al's son.
Oh, wow.
And it was and I knew at that point I was going to do something with high school basketball. And I coached for 36 years, and it's strictly because of her. So, and obviously, your dad had a lot to do with who you are, and especially in the game of soccer.
Yeah, and even with the ministry that we lead, so much of what we do is try and train coaches, because the influence that a coach can have on an individual player, and you know, we see it as an opportunity for life transformation.
Well, we love that. Hey, growing up in Philadelphia, so yeah, Eagles, 76ers, Phillies, all of that for you?
Absolutely. Very proud of that, actually. You know, I remember watching when I was growing up, the Sixers would always play against the Bucks in the playoffs. And then, you know, Bill Walton was not a favorite of our family, because when he was a Celtic, you know, that was a big, huge rivalry for us. But my kids are born and raised watching Eagles games, so the highs and the lows and all that. So
I can tell you,
a great year this year.
I can tell you that Dr. J never, he didn't do much against the Bucks. It was Bobby Jones and Maurice Cheeks and Dawkins. Yeah. I'm telling you, that team drove me nuts, because they beat the Bucks, and they would hit shots that they didn't hit all year. Bobby Jones hitting fadeaways from the top. Come on now. Man, I got all that. And here up in Wisconsin against the Eagles, you know, we still talk about 4th and 26. Does that mean anything to you?
I know exactly that play.
Oh, man.
And my kids would know that play for sure.
Hey,
we would always have about 10 families over, and their kids come over, and we'd all watch the game. And every time they sing or score, we'd sing the song and all that. So, yeah, definitely diehards in there. And I remember Sidney Moncrief all the time with the Bucks and how good of a player he was. So
I
know that feeling.
The fact that you remember 4th and 26, I'm about to end this interview. I'll just go somewhere else. I can't. I am starting to sweat. So in the radio station, I work every day with two former Green Bay Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. And don't you dare say 4th and 26. You just keep it to yourself, brother. You don't want to hear about it. Man, that is that something up here that if you say 4th and 26 to a Packer fan – it's just not good. So those Eagles, I'll tell you that. We are our special guest today. He is David Urban, and he is the CEO of Missionary Athletes International. And as we're talking, their website, and we're going to talk a lot about what they do, but it's maisoccer.com, maisoccer.com. And as you listen to this interview, if you're being led to help them, you know what? If you want to help them out, there's a place that you can go online and donate $10, $100, whatever it is. But when you go to that website, do yourself a favor. Read some of the stories. Some of them are from 2 years ago. Some of them, it doesn't matter. Because when you start reading the stories, make sure that you have 20, 25 minutes. You're not going to click on this website and then get in the car and go to the grocery store, because you're going to get caught. And I don't want you yelling at me, because I warned you. You start reading some of the stories, and we're going to talk about the one that was my favorite, The Secret of Sports Ministry, Lessons from Japan. Man, we could do the entire show on just this article that was written about this story, and we're going to get to that later in the show. Hey, David, how did you get with ministry? How did you get with the company? I want to keep calling it MAI because that's kind of how it goes by. But as we're talking and people have to understand where you work and what you guys do, and we'll continue to talk about that. But how did you become the CEO of MAI, and how did that kind of journey get you there?
No, I appreciate that. I just started my third year, so I just completed my second year there. And when they were going through a process of looking for a new CEO, we had a former president and CEO who was there for about, I guess, about 16 or 17 years and did a great job of leading the ministry. And as they were going on looking for a new leader for the ministry, I got connected to them, and I was involved with Christian universities and higher education, and also we had a consulting company that worked with Christian schools around the country and some internationally. But my background was always in soccer, and about 7 years ago, we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, which just happens to be where our headquarters are for MAI, and got to know some of the different people, found out about the ministry, started to become a supporter of the ministry, and my wife started to work part-time there. And as they were doing the search, we started talking a little bit about, you know, would I be a decent candidate? Would I be a good fit for it? And, you know, we went through probably about 3 to 6 month process of trying to identify, is this a good fit for me? Is it a good fit for them? And, you know, it just felt really privileged to be in the role that I get to be in. A lot of the stuff, I had a pretty good idea of what I thought I was, you know, walking into, but there are certainly some surprises that I've already been just completely changed and impacted by this ministry.
Boy, that, how awesome is that? You know, when you can walk in and you know a little bit about it, but, you know, when you take over as a CEO, you know, they're looking to you for guidance, and you're the guy. And for you to say that, I think is a big deal. When you go on the website and you want to know a little bit more about them, I always look for web during website visits when I'm trying to research for the show. I look for what I think is the soul. Right, the mission statement of it, and let me just read this, and this is what I just read it a couple of times and went, boy, this is who these guys are. They want to, this is what it says. We want to recruit, train, and equip soccer coaches to use their position of influence to inspire people, especially youth from the youngest ages, to live for Christ. At the center of this effort are roughly 60 MAI staff members who have chosen to answer the calling to ministry through a faith support funding model. These dedicated staff are the seed sowers, and I love that right there. They are the seed sowers who live in our urban ministry neighborhoods, lead international outreach tours, train players and coaches in sports ministry through our offices in Charlotte, Chicago, and Southern California. And that is, you know, in sales, you know, I'm a sales rep at these stations. We what's your elevator pitch? That is the elevator pitch. Right there, yeah. For MAI. That I don't know if it could be done any better. The staff are seed sowers, and again, they have chosen to answer the call, and it's a faith support funding model. And that's why I asked earlier in this segment, when you go to the website, click on, you know, to be able to help fund these people that are really doing great work, and we'll know more about what they're doing throughout the show. But I'm asking the people that listen to the show, go on the website, and if you read the stories, if you're feeling led to help them, let's help them. We need 2021 needs to be a big year for these guys, and with COVID hopefully soon to be in the back view mirror, we you know what, companies like this and ministries like this took a hit during COVID, and let's see if we can't make them whole a little bit. When you talk about those that dedicated staff of 60 people doing this, you have to be impressed on a daily basis, David, with these guys.
Yeah, it's honestly, it is unbelievably humbling to actually be in a role that I get to be in. And honestly, most days I feel the one that's the least prepared than a bunch of these other guys. Some of the guys have been with the ministry for 30 years, and they are giants, and they are heroes, and they have given their life for the Lord in amazing ways, and the opportunity that I have to come and walk beside them and to learn from them and to encourage them, but also to really press upon them about making sure they leave their fingerprints all over our ministry, because the ones that are going to be coming after them need to be impacted by the dedication and the way that they have served the Lord through this ministry. So,
amen.
It's a really neat thing. I have the opportunity to work with some in the 60s and late 60s all the way down into, you know, the early 20s. And then we also obviously serve a population that oftentimes are youth. So it is really humbling to be in the role that I get to be in.
Hey, when you go to that website, and again, I encourage you to do it because I spent a lot of time on it because I couldn't get off it. I kept reading this. MAISoccer.com. There's a story from a young guy named Tanner Scott, right? Chicago Eagles gave me the opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ and the gospel on a whole different level. I had grown up in the church knowing all the answers in the Christian faith. It was not until I came to the Eagles that I was challenged to actually live out the values that I grew up with. I truly learned what it meant to play soccer for his glory. I don't know Tanner Scott, but I had tears in my eyes reading this, and I thought, my goodness. He goes on to say, going beyond my personal faith, I've had the opportunity to share how Jesus has transformed my life with many different individuals. I was able to share my testimony in Brazil and watch young kids accept Jesus Christ is their savior while using soccer as a tool. That's what we're talking about today. That's exactly what this Faith in the Zone, what we do on this show, is highlight, promote, and celebrate people like David Urban and these employees and these people that have given their life over and said, Lord, I'm going with you. And you figure it out. Faith support funding model, I don't know if I could sleep at night. You know, that's a tough one. And you got to hand it all over. So MAISoccer.com. We're going to get to a break. He's David Urban. And he is the CEO of Missionary Athletes International, and we'll continue our conversation on the other side with him. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again, flying solo this week. Looking forward to having Pastor Ken Keltner, Brookside Baptist Church. This show, David Urban and Pastor Ken Keltner, I would not be talking because they both talk the same language. Pastor Ken, big soccer fan, understands how rolling a ball out, any ball, is when you're outside of the United States and you're doing missions work somewhere else. And David and I had that conversation, and that's exactly how this whole thing started with MIA. And I can tell you that they started in 87. The fall of 86 is where they kind of got this going. 83 is when they started getting it going. 86, they brought in Dave Irby as a full-time staff member. And then, boom, it's been growing a little bit ever since, and they've been doing really, really good work. And David Urban, who is the CEO, is joining us. David, if somebody asks you, hey, what do you do? And when you tell them what you do, and they say, hey, I'm going to grab a cab here in a minute. Can you kind of quickly tell me what you guys are trying to accomplish with your company? What do you tell them?
It's a great question because we have four different offices across the country, but basically our vision and our mission is to glorify God and see lives transformed by sharing the message of Jesus through the global game of soccer. So basically what we try and do is we try and use this vehicle that is the most common language around the world, aside from music, to try and use this as an opportunity for us to be able to have the opportunity to share the gospel with others. So that's kind of like a nutshell of what we try and do. Now, that looks different in different parts of, in Charlotte, that looks a little bit different than it does in Chicago and Southern California, but then also internationally. The vision was, when it was founded, was that it could get us into any country in the world because the game is a worldwide game.
Hey, so do you guys, like, when I talk about the Chicago Eagles, right, and you can go to ChicagoEagles.com if you want to look at what we're talking about, do they play games? Is it just more camps and more, some Bible study? If somebody looks up the Chicago Eagles, what are they going to find?
You'll find that there's a significant piece of urban ministry where we have missionaries that are living in an apartment complex and trying to build relationships with youth and using the game as the vehicle to build these relationships. So they have a small club program where you'll have kids from all different ages playing together, so they would have their own teams. They also have a great summer academy program where the college-level players, both men and women, will come to Chicago for about 8 weeks. And they'll play high-level games and then also run different camps all throughout the area. But then they'll also do a two-week mission trip to Brazil And they go through our sports ministry training. It's a great opportunity for us to train this next generation of people to be able to have a bigger vision for their life than just, you know, going off back to college or just playing this game. But they really see this as an opportunity, as a tool.
Wow. And so where do you recruit or where do you find, you know, guys that are either in or have been in the game of soccer that you know, have a similar belief to what you have? Do they find you, or do you guys go out and recruit? Do you guys look for people to get involved?
We do. I would say that's one of the things that I think from my role coming in, and you know, my background was as a recruiter at universities for the last, you know, 20 years or so. So, you know, I want to be really proactive about telling our story, proactive about trying to bring others to help support and to be part of our ministry. But a lot of the people that we've gotten involved with our ministry have either been on one of our tours or have come through some aspect of our ministry. And I would say most of them, while they love the game, the reason why they're joining our ministry isn't because of the game, it's because of the vehicle that allows us to really be able to get into the ministry and to touch lives.
Hey, as the CEO, what keeps you up at night? You know, what keeps you up going, man, if we could figure this part of it out, or if we could get help here, or if we could do better here, you know, as the guy that kind of oversees, you know, this entire group, what keeps you up at night?
You know, that's a great question, because I'm naturally a little bit of an anxious person, and it reminds me of my need for the gospel, reminds me of my need for the Lord. And but I think the things that keep me up at night is, one, is how can I help support and lead our staff to be really strong in our walk with Christ first, as we go out to do ministry second. But, you know, we want to make sure that our people are healthy spiritually as well as every other aspect as we go out to try and serve others. Secondly, I think about I don't want us to be a ministry that is always concerned about the funds and the resources and the thinking to be risk avoidance because we're scared that the funds aren't going to come in. But to really try and look at things and saying, boy, could you imagine what the Lord might be able to do if we went in this direction and we're going to be aggressive about investing into these different things? That's one of the things that gets me just so excited is, you know, if we're fully functioning and we're thriving and we're being wise about the things we're making decisions about, you know, how could the Lord use us in an amazing way and to see things that we would have never even imagined before. And that's the stuff that gets me so excited. I think missions agencies have struggled in the past and still today about bringing people on and getting them started. And I would love that would be one thing that I constantly am trying to think of is, how do we help people that feel called to this ministry? How do we help them get started as soon as possible? Because I think it's important for us to get out there and to be serving.
Hey, David, the second segment of Faith in the Zone, we always ask for someone's testimony. And I know we're midway through segment two, but I'd like to ask if you would share your testimony with our listeners.
Yeah, I would love to. I grew up in a great home. I talked a little bit about my father and, you know, growing up with unbelievable parents. And they were happily married for 59 years. And so I grew up in a great home. And everything was provided for us. Everything was... I wasn't needing anything. We weren't wealthy, but you know, everything was provided for us. I went to, I lived in a really wealthy suburbs of Philadelphia, and went to Lower Merion High School, and I got to coach at Lower Merion High School. And I only bring that up because of Kobe Bryant, and you're talking about high school basketball.
Right.
When I was there, the high school that I went to was 40 or 50% Jewish. So I spent many more days going to synagogue when you're 12, 13, 14 years old in Lower Merion Township. And spending many more days in synagogue than I ever did go to church. After first grade or so, I would go to church maybe Christmas Eve, and that was about it every single year. So I was definitely a kid that did not grow up in a church, did not know much at all about the Bible. But I also grew up, though, in a home that, you know, I would have believed in Jesus. I would have known that I was a sinner. I would have known that the world didn't revolve around me. My parents let me know about that and taught me well about that. But I also didn't have any true understanding or even really ever heard of the concept of a day-to-day walk with the Lord. When I graduated from high school and I was looking at different colleges to go play ball, one of the places I ended up looking at was a Christian college. And while I didn't, you know much about what that meant, I did know that I felt like I was a Christian because I would have believed in Jesus. But when I got there, it was so different from anything I ever experienced because I did not grow up going to a church and that whole context and that whole culture. So when I got there, very much it was very different than anything I ever experienced. And it was actually through the coach that was leading the team and a group of guys that were walking with the Lord that poured their lives out in front of me. And it was just so appealing. And very quickly did I recognize the fact that this idea of who Jesus was, I had no concept of that until I really got there.
Wow. You know, that's that. I can tell you, Dave, that's a really cool story because a lot of times on Faith and Zoe, we'll hear guys, you know, or women that'll say, look, I was raised in a Catholic or a Christian home or a Baptist, but I didn't really know, but I kind of had this base about it. And then I got to college and, you know what, I did a lot of the things that college kids do. Very seldom do we hear, hey, this is who I was. But then when I got on campus, this is where it all kind of kicked in. Do you remember getting on campus? And if I said, hey, give me a name or two of somebody on campus back in the day with you that you would say, hey, look, this guy really encouraged me or they really helped me in my walk.
Yeah, and that'd be so easy. Like the first guy that comes to my mind was our college coach, who was a guy named Wayne Rasmussen. And he had just a way about his life. And he had this concept, the way he lived his life was that it was never about, hey, because we're Christians, we can't do these things. It was always about, hey, because we're believers in Jesus, this gives us the freedom to be able to go live life to its fullest and experience things to the fullest because of who we are in Christ. And he would always talk about, you know, if you have a choice between a memory and a dollar, take the memory every time. And I was just so intrigued by him because he lived differently than anybody ever seen before. And I would just sit next to him on, you know, road trips going to games and on the way back and just pick his brain about different things. And but his life was so appealing, but he would always point it back to because of who he was in Jesus. And it was never about, hey, you can't do that. You're a Christian. You can't do that. It was always about, man, can you believe we can do this because of what Jesus did for us?
Oh, man. Good. You know what? Good for Wayne. Is he still with us, do you know?
He is, and he and I are still very close, and he's working at a college out in California, and we're very, very close. And you know, it was neat even talking to him about when I was looking at this opportunity as becoming the CEO and to, you know, share the idea with him. And it was really exciting because I think so much of what he poured into me is what I'm hoping to be able to pour out into others.
You know, being a former basketball coach, I tell you what, that's the best. You know, when you hear that kind of, you know, from a former player to come and say, hey, look, you know, you taught me more than what a flex offense or how to shade a screen or, you know, box out. This is what I learned from you. And for me, that means more than anything. You know, state championships and stuff like that are great. I mean, they really are. But when you get somebody that says, look, you don't know what you did for me. But because of that, I'm trying to model what you did, and now I'm trying to coach and I'm trying to do this and that. He is David Urban. He is the CEO, and it's Missionary Athletes International and MAISoccer.com. MAISoccer.com is where you're going to want to go. On the other side of the break, when you're on that website, read a lot of the stories. You know, I just got caught reading these, and the one I talked to you about with Tanner Scott. I don't know this guy, but you know what? I want to meet him because what he talked about with the Chicago Eagles was great. And then I started reading this article called The Secret of Sports Ministry, Lessons from Japan. And I just, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this article and some of the things that I highlighted as I was reading it, because it blew me away. And I printed it so I could bring it home, read it again, and hand it off to my wife, Terry, so she can read it as well. Speaking of that, before we get to a break, David, what's your wife's name?
Carolyn.
And do you have kids, right?
We do. We have three. We've been married for just celebrated our 25th anniversary. And so I got two in college and one, two girls in college and one son who's in ninth grade.
Man, oh, man. Congratulations.
I'm a rich man.
Did you all kick your covers like most of us?
It's not even close.
It's not. You know what? Look, hey, pal, I'm the president, and Pastor Ken, he's by far the vice president, but we got some room on the board, pal. You come on that board. He is David Urban, and he is the CEO of Ministry Athletes International. You're going to want to go to maisoccer.com and take a look overall, the umbrella of what they're doing. And when you listen to him talk and the passion that he has for this missionary field that they are really doing a good job on. If you're feeling led to help them out, there's a nice, easy way to do that on that website, and you get an idea on who these people are, not only the people that work there, but some of the people that they've really impacted. And I would recommend that you go and do that. We will continue our conversation with David on the other side. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, and boy, I've had fun talking to our guest. He is David Urban, again, CEO of MAI. It is Missionary Athletes International, and it's maisoccer.com. And you don't have to be a big soccer fan. You know, I know some of you guys can be going, hey, McGivern, you're a football, basketball, baseball guy. No, I dabble a little bit in the soccer world. In fact, David, I work for the outdoor team here in Milwaukee, and the former World Cup coach, Bob Gansler, was our coach for the Milwaukee Rampage. And I would leave every game at halftime to set up our post-game party. And he finally said, man, McGivern, are you leaving at halftime? I go, yeah. He goes, why? I go, well, I have to set up the post-game party. He goes, what's the setup? It's at the same place and you guys do the same thing. I said, do you want to know the truth? He said, yeah. I said, outdoor soccer is like watching paint dry for me. He goes, you're not kidding. I go, no, it's horrible. Well, that offseason, his office was one floor below mine. And he would call up and he'd go, what are you doing? I go, nothing. He go, come on down. I want to show you something. Well, he's breaking film down, and he said, look, you're a basketball coach, right? I go, yep. It's very similar. Watch this. Ooh. I was taught the game of outdoor soccer by the former World Cup coach.
Awesome.
And do you know, David, I fell in love with it. When it's played right and even close to being right, it's such a beautiful sport to watch. And if you understand why – you know, why are they doing what they're doing? It's amazing. I'll stop. I'll be driving through a park here in Milwaukee. There'll be a game going on. I'll just stop and get out and go watch it.
Yeah, it's neat. It truly is a player's game. You know, coaches can – I remember our college coach would say, hey, the games are yours, but the practices are mine. And the idea that once you get in the game, there's very little coaching that can actually take place from the sideline. And the players have to figure it out. And there's no timeouts. And it really is a beautiful game, but it's – and it's much more physical than I think a lot of people really recognize.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Hey, your daughters and son, did any of them pick up the game of soccer? Did they play?
They all did when they were younger and all the way up to almost through high school. And my son's still playing in high school. My wife also coached college lacrosse, so they all also played lacrosse too. So.
Oh, man. She coached college lacrosse. Now, that's a game. So this youth sports show that I do, I've talked to youth lacrosse clubs here in southeast Wisconsin, and it's not nearly as big here, obviously, as it, you know, was in Philadelphia. You know, out east, it's huge. Is it big in Charlotte?
I would say it's getting there. The men's side is definitely pretty big. The women's side's coming along. But, you know, the success of the programs at UNC and Duke and Virginia, and, you know, it's one of the fastest growing games here for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I like to ask guys who are athletes and played at a pretty high level. You played college soccer. And if you missed our second segment, as David talked about his testimony, when he got on that college campus is when he, you know, accepted Jesus Christ, when he figured it out, when he started this walk and trying to walk worthy. And David, when you were on the college campus playing college soccer, was it easier for you to walk worthy inside the locker room or outside of the locker room?
It's a great question because I think, as I shared, I came to faith when I was in college. I think I would say the transformation took place over time, and I would say I probably still wrestled greatly with my growth and my walk with the Lord during those years. And soccer would have been one of the things that was probably the hardest thing to transition from because – and I remember just being any time being onto a field and just only thinking about winning and that at all costs and playing games to that level. And I would say, you know, it definitely took time to get that to change and to have that come outside of that. And I would say it probably took place a couple years after college that more of that took place. But and so in some ways, while I was playing in college, I would say there was still a lot of developing that was going on internally as well as externally.
Wow. And you know what? That's encouraging that you knew that and you were trying to figure it out and trying to, inside and outside the locker room, you know, get your steps together with that. And hey, where did you and Caroline meet? Where did you guys, in college or?
Yeah, I'm 4 years older than her, so we were never in college together. But because I was an athlete and she was an athlete, we would bump into each other at different times. And she was doing Young Life and at a place where was my rival for where I was coaching in high school. So I'd bump into her because I was scouting out games and I'd see her at different places and bump into her at campus. And over a period of time, we just got to know each other.
Yeah, and you know you were thinking, man, oh man, that girl's cute. You know what you were thinking, Urban.
Absolutely.
I could get her to go to a movie with me. What is Young Life, by the way? What is that?
Young Life is a ministry that the goal is to be able to they basically volunteer leaders go into local high schools and they adults are going in there and trying to befriend kids with the idea that they want to earn the opportunity to share the gospel. And to be their friends, and but in creating these relationships, the goal of the relationship is that they would be just an influential person in the life of these kids, but also with the idea that we want to be able to have the opportunity to earn the opportunity to share the gospel, that we just don't share it, but we earn the opportunity to do it. Boy. So it's an international ministry, and it's a great program.
Boy, that's, you know what, it's the first time I've heard of it, and I wrote it down. I'm going to look them up, and sounds like a perfect, you know, guest for Faith in the Zone, and I will I will look at that. Hey, during this segment, I really wanted to talk about, and I don't know if you even remember this story that's on your website, The Secret of Sports Ministry Lessons from Japan. And this story just caught my attention, and it starts by saying, hey, Team Parents praises for flying across the world to spread the gospel in Japan. College friends wore our fundraiser T-shirts around campus. The attention made us feel we had to accomplish something by evangelizing on the streets. She talks a lot about this, and she says, during the first week in Japan, I wasn't the only one who wondered how playing soccer and singing Bananas for My Lord to bleachers full of strangers could be considered evangelism. Although soccer was our platform for ministry, my teammates imported their own ideas on what a missions trip should look like based on other missions trips that they had been on. Well, one night we got dressed up after an hour in a Japanese spa, and one of our teammates asked, hey, did you ever wonder what we're really doing here? Like, are we helping anyone? And all the girls nodded in agreement. So I get caught reading this, and when you go, and we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but the journey, and this should be a book is what it should be, but she talks about this, and at the end, she said, look, you know what? Regardless of my lack of immediate results, I am confident that my soccer team did accomplish triumphs in Japan. However, my faith does not rely on my team's efforts or outstanding qualities or tangible results. God used my team to demonstrate his love to the Japanese. Results are invisible because God worked within their hearts at whatever stage they were at in their slow journey towards Christ. So she went in thinking, okay, what are we doing here? Like, this is fun and we're singing these songs. And then I'm sure in the airport, she's thinking these thoughts going, my goodness, hold on a second. This isn't about me. In the last paragraph, similarly, my short-term missions team did not need to worry about what fruit was sprung from our sports ministry. We simply needed to rest in God's goodness and humbly obey our task. And I thought, I got goosebumps reading this, and I want to meet this gal who lives, I think, in Long Beach, and I want her to come on the show. You know, she said he equally calls others to use their own talents to share Christ's love and truth with the world. This trip for her changed her life. It was life-changing for her.
And that's what our goal is, to be able to – the reason we do these trips and these tours and we take other people overseas is we do want them to have a transformation experience for themselves, even if they're already believers. But the idea that, you know, our life is not our own and we're to give it away and to invest our lives in the things of what the Lord would have us invest in. And, you know, that Japan is an interesting piece because the person that's really referenced all throughout that is a guy named Paul Gizzi, who plays in the NASL, and he's in his late 60s, and he's just an amazing man. He was born as a missionary kid in Japan, and he's for 25, 30 years, he's been taking teams over there. And the fruit of what you're seeing in that, in such a hard place as far as for the gospel to take root there. But he has just been so faithful and has shared experience with so many other college-age kids and bringing them over. And I think that was one of my first international trips with MAI, was going with him over to Japan. And to seeing his relationship that he had built over years after years, it's such a hard place. But it truly is an honor to be able to go and to be part of something where it's, you're not seeing the immediate results all the time, but you know that you're trying to be faithful what the Lord has for you for that day.
Hey, and before we get to a break, the last part that I highlighted, and we're not going to get to all the ones I highlighted because there's too many, and this article caught my attention. It was so well written. But she says, well, then what was the point of our short-term trip? To put it bluntly, we were the bait to attract the Japanese, and the pastors and long-term missionaries were the ones responsible for evangelism and fostering deeper relationships. Soccer ministry, though slow, it's very natural way to plant relationships. And I was caught up by how well this was written, and I could just kind of feel all of the questions she had, you know, I'm sure on the trip over there. And then when she got there, and she, I love that when someone said, does anybody think, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And that whole transformation during that trip of this young woman who goes, okay, I got it. I know what it is. And I just think it's just a wonderfully written story that I would really recommend that if you go on that website, again, maisoccer.com, that make sure you look at stories and find that story and find the one, The Secret of Sports Ministry, Lessons from Japan. If you ever talk to her, Bree Michelson, if you know anybody that knows her, please tell her that I can't stop talking about this article. And I just think it's really caught my attention, and I would love to be able to find her and ask her to be a guest here on Faith in the Zone. We are joined by David Urban. He is the CEO. MAI is the name of the company. It's maisoccer.com. And if you want to help people like Bree and people that are doing the kind of work that she just talked about and wrote about in this article, you can go to maisoccer.com and help them out. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to have a short fourth segment. I want to find out, like we do with everybody, the last segment, if he could put on any uniform that he's ever worn, any team he's ever played for, what uniform does David Urban, again, the CEO of MAI, what uniform does he put on? We're going to find out. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day...
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, and our guest, and he's been a good one for the entire hour, David Urban. He's the CEO of MAI. Go to maisoccer.com. And look, we're in Milwaukee. You want to know what they're doing in Chicago? ChicagoEagles.com or CharlotteEagles.com is another website that you can go to. You know, one thing I didn't tell David is what a fine soccer player I am. And he has to understand that if he was here in Milwaukee, I would nutmeg him. He would want to be on the same pitch with me. I could, man, David, I'm only kidding. I got nothing. I got absolutely zero game. I got none. I worked it a little bit, and I watched it a little bit, but that's about it. So I got to talk a little smack to Philadelphia boy. You know, you Philly boys will take you'll give the smack right back. So I'm not worried about
that's what we do.
You're not going to crawl up and go in the corner because I told you I was going to net my guy. I'll tell you that. Hey, David, if I gave you the opportunity, I took every jersey of every team you've ever played for, and I put them in a closet, and I said, pick one, and I'm going to get you one more game. One more time, and it's going to be a night game at home against a rival. What jersey do you grab?
I'm going to give two, if that's all right.
All right, sure.
But the first one was, I told you, my dad would always coach me from the time I was 8 to 18 years old. And there's nothing that I'd love to do and be able to play for my dad one more time. And to do it with a bunch of the kids that I grew up playing ball with before I was a believer, and to have the opportunity to play with them another time would be fantastic. And to play for my dad would be, you know, really sweet. But most recently, I would say, I just had the amazing opportunity, and it's not so much on our website because we can't share too much of it where that anybody could ever really see pictures. But I just had the opportunity to work, and as a ministry, go to Turkey, where we work with Iranian refugees.
Wow.
And church leaders there. And one of the things that we do when we do training on how you do sports ministry is we have these guys in a room for about 5 days, and we talk a little bit about how you do sports ministry. But then in the evenings, we go out and we play, and we show them how to do drills and how to run sessions and how to run plays. And but it always leads into some kind of game with us all playing, you know, full field or indoor, something like that. And I got to tell you, that was one of the most fun things of playing with these brothers in Christ from the other part of the world that came and that literally are in Turkey, and they had to flee from Iran because of who they were and accepting Jesus. Wow. And having the opportunity just to play with them and the joy of playing with them, knowing that we were all believers, knowing that we were all brothers. And I would have never, ever imagined I would have ever experienced something like that.
Thank you for giving me two. Because when you were telling me about playing for your dad, I'm like, what could a second one be? But now I know. You know what? That gave me goosebumps. It just did, David. And I love both of those stories. You know, if you could get the opportunity to play one more time for your dad, would be incredible. But the second story was just as incredible. Guys, do me a favor. He is the CEO. Go to this website. It's maisoccer.com. And as we started the show, I'm just going to remind you that the people that work, roughly 60 staff members, faith support funding model. So you know what that means. If you listen to the show, they are looking for people that believe in what they're doing and will make, you know, will help them out financially. You know what, whether it's 20 bucks a month or 50 bucks a month or something like that, you know, go on the website. And if you're feeling led to help them continue, do that. They are, and I read this in the first segment, but these dedicated staff are the seed sowers who live in our urban ministry neighborhoods. They lead international outreach tours. They train players, coaches in sports ministry through our offices in Charlotte, Chicago, and Southern California. David, you got to be so proud. And you know, thank you. We will have you in our prayers. Everybody over at MAI and the things that you guys do. And I hope that there are some people listening here that will get, you know, as engaged as I did on that website and understand the great work that you guys are doing. And I just commend you as the CEO for this staff that you have.
Well, I should not take any credit, and I'm the last one in, but I am unbelievably blessed to be able to be part of it and to be able to lead it. And I just feel really grateful.
Well, amen to that. Happy New Year to you and Carolyn and your kids. I hope I'm hoping 2021 is a little bit better than 2020. And I pray and I believe that it will be. And again, when you go to that website, maisoccer.com, understand that the people that are really doing the heavy lifting, their faith support funding model, let's help them out. David Urban, thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you in person one day, and we'll talk Bucks 76ers all day long if you want.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to that. Merry Christmas to you and to all the listeners, and thanks so much for doing what you're doing and be able to share sports ministry and what the Lord's doing and all through professional sports. And we're really grateful for the opportunity to be able to connect with you and would love to catch up together.
You got it. That's David Urban. And certainly, again, Happy New Year to everybody. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.